We'd like to welcome you to our emergency freedom alerts for June 24th, 2024. I'll go ahead and open us up with the prayer to neutralize occult rituals, the warfare prayers we rotate. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth, seated at the right hand of the Father, we come in the authority given to us in Christ Jesus. We place a hedge of warring angels with flaming swords of fire around us and our families continuously. We put on the whole armor of God. We resist and renounce Satan, the god of this earth. We rise to war by the power of the Holy Spirit against witchcraft, occult maneuvers, and devices sent against your will and the body of Christ. We ask you to dispatch legions of warring angels in full battle array to enforce your petitions and intercessory prayers. Rout your enemies on all fronts, O Lord. Turn their hatred, anger, accusations, conflict, arrogance, and wicked schemes upon themselves so that they become caught in their own snares and fall into the pits that they have intended for others. We nullify and cancel and oppose every satanic operation, scheme, maneuver, and strategy. Cause secret plans and agendas and motivations of the enemy to be revealed for everyone to see. We decree and declare that what these evil people and entities meant for wickedness, that you will turn it around and use it for the good of your people. We close every evil portal that has been opened by them. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood, we break and cancel every curse, spell, hex, vex, charm, enchantment, decree, spoken or unspoken, sent against the body of Christ, the innocent, and your intercessors, by every witch, warlock, Satanist, sorcerer, voodoo, priest, shaman, soothsayer, medium, bruja, brujo, coven, and every minion of the devil working iniquity. May they fall into the pits that they have dug for others. Lord Jesus, reveal your love to them. Save those that can be saved. Show them the truth about who they're serving and their eternal destination if they continue in their present path. Open their minds, ears, and eyes to receive supernatural insight and knowledge to understand the truth of the gospel. Bring them to salvation. We seal this prayer by the blood of the Lamb and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, so we've got a ton to cover today. I'm going to try to get through it all. It's going to kind of be a varied teaching. We're going to be talking about a lot of different subjects and a lot of breaking current events. Before we get into more of the current events, and this is a current event, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee has signed a bill calling for 30 days of prayer and fasting beginning July 1st in the volunteer state. The resolution asked the people of the state to seek God's hand of mercy and healing on Tennessee. So this is for 30 days of prayer and fasting, this governor. It's being called a historic gesture. Tennessee House Joint Resolution 0803 asked the people of the state to seek God's hand of mercy and healing on Tennessee. I've never heard anything like this. Not at a governor type level. Not any in recent times. Maybe this type of thing happened, you know, in like the 1800s. But I haven't heard anything like this in my lifetime. Not to say it hasn't happened. I just am not aware of it. A letter signed by Tennessee State Senator Mark Pitty and Representative Monty Fritz accompanied the resolution, invites, quote, those who are physically able and spiritually inclined to do so to join a 30-day season of prayer and intermittent fasting for the month of July as a means of humbling ourselves to receive God's grace, mercy, blessing in Tennessee and in our nation. Then it goes on to say, we are respectfully inviting you to join with us in leading the people of God across Tennessee into a time of humbling ourselves, praying, seeking God's face, and repentance during July. The language of the legislators is reminiscent of 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. They ask that the resolution be read during church services across the state on Sunday, June 30th, and for the congregants to, quote, examine our lives in light of God's word and confess our sins. I mean, this is like unprecedented for a modern day, you know, American state to do this. Wow. Also to acknowledge that we as the church have failed to stand for the principles of God, ask for his forgiveness and mercy, and commit to stand firmly on those principles going forward, and for those who are able to join in prayer and intermittent fasting as a means of demonstrating our desire for repentance. The resolution begins by acknowledging the many ways that the state and the nation suffer from violence committed upon citizens by our own citizens and by non-citizens. The people of Tennessee are called to repent and pray because human trafficking is unacceptable and the violent evil in our state, enslaving lives and violating the core values of our Creator, the Creator endowed rights, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The resolution goes on to acknowledge that drug addiction overwhelms Tennessee families and that the state's finances, especially fentanyl, we have approximately 9,000 children in need of foster care, indicating a brokenness in many Tennessean homes. The resolution continues, and the corruption of our federal government stands to impact every Tennessean. And I give you a link to the full resolution if you'd like to click on that. So praise the Lord for that. Then another longtime listener, Adam, who's a street preacher in the Atlanta area, longtime listener. He says, I just wanted to share a video I put together for a call to prayer and fasting that the Lord would intervene in the shutdown of a Columbus murder mill in Columbus, Georgia, abortion center. They've been murdering babies there for 40 years. Thank you for your prayers and any prayers you can offer up to the Lord. I know He hears our prayers. So he gives a little YouTube video if you want to watch here. And then I post his contact information if you want to get a hold of him as well. Okay, so going into the current events, the top headline for really today, or at least it was in the morning, 6/23 of 24 on the Drudge Report. And the reason I'm saying that is because the Drudge Report is, yes, it's a very corrupted, biased, left-leaning news publication. It used to not be near that way, not near as much as it is now. But when you see the Drudge Report leading off with headlines like this, quote, why it's too late to stop World War III, I don't think I've ever seen that headline from them before. So this is just a report from, this is MSN, you know, as mainstream as they get. And I'm just going to read you what they say, because this is what they're openly telegraphing. Imagine for a moment that the Iranian government announces it has developed a nuclear bomb and threatens to use it on Israel. Well, I've done teachings going back probably 15 years that Iran has had the capability of nukes, and most likely has had nukes for a very long time. But remember, all the world's a stage, and it's theater, and World War III will be something that, although it won't appear to be staged, it's been planned and prepped, most likely. Again, you can go all the way back into the 1800s to find proof of that. Imagine for a moment that the Iranian government announced it has developed a nuclear bomb and threatens to use it on Israel. The United States reacts with the threat of military intervention, as it did in 1991 and in 2003 in Iraq. Iran signals that it will not tolerate a third Gulf War and looks for allies. American forces mass to enter Iran, which orders national mobilization. Russia, China, and North Korea express their support for Iran, and Washington expands its intervention force, bringing in a British contingent. Russia enters the game, raising the stakes in the expectation that the West will back down. A nuclear standoff follows, but with tense and itchy trigger fingers on both sides as leaders gamble on the risk of not striking first. It all ends in disaster. The Third World War begins with an exchange of nuclear fire, and the rest, they say, is history. And then, or picture this, it gives this scenario. Chinese frustration over the status of Taiwan prompts a buildup of invasion forces. The United States is preoccupied with its own domestic political crisis. Japan anxiously watches the exchange of harsh words between China and Taiwan, wondering whether to intervene. The United Nations condemns Chinese actions. China repudiates the censure and orders invasion. Confident that a quick victory will prevent others from intervening, as Hitler hoped when he invaded Poland in 1939. The United States now activates contingency plans to save Taiwan, and each side uses tactical nuclear weapons against the other's armed forces. North Korea and Russia side up with China. There is no general nuclear strike, but Russia warns Europe to keep out, dividing the American strategy between the two theaters, as it was in the Second World War. The conflict continues to escalate. Or, you know, I've always said, in order to achieve maximum shock and awe, maximum order out of chaos, the 33rd degree motto of the Freemason, in order to bring about the maximum Hegelian dialectic problem reaction solution to get their desired outcome, which is ultimately to get us into the tribulation, it's ultimately to bring about World War III. And on the heels of World War III, you're going to have the man of sin, okay? The Antichrist and most likely the false prophet making their big debut, as, you know, he's going to come as a man of peace. They're going to come having all the answers. They're going to be able to broker peace deals with these countries, and they're going to look like the next greatest thing since sliced bread. And the countries are, you know, the world's going to get on board. That's the scenario I have been, the way it's going to go down, or some derivation of that, for, again, probably at least over 15 years. And I believe that's their own game plan. A lot of it's based off what I've known about them. So, yeah, it's just we're definitely moving in that direction. And then you have top World War III headlines. This is just for today, okay? World War III at overdrive. Russian sunbathers slaughtered in mass by five U.S. AT-ACM missiles. This just happened, okay? And then Russia comes out and says the U.S. is responsible for the deadly Ukrainian attack on Crimea, where all these people were injured and slaughtered. Russia said on Sunday that the United States was responsible for the Ukrainian attack on the Russian annexed Crimea Peninsula with five U.S.-supplied missiles that killed four people, including two children, and injured 151 more. I saw video of it, of the bomb. I mean, these people are just on the beach sunbathing, and all of a sudden they got bombs dropping. And it's unbelievable. The Russian Defense Ministry said four of the U.S.-delivered Army Tactical Missile Systems, or ATACMs, missiles equipped with cluster warheads were shot down by an air defense system, and the ammunition of the fifth had detonated in midair. Oh my word, what if the others would have got through? I guess they would have all been dead. Footage on a Russian state... it's like we're literally just trying to provoke World War III. Footage of Russian state television showed people running from the beach, some being carried off. Russian-installed cameras in Crimea said missile fragments had fallen just afternoon near a beach on the north side of the city of Sevastopol, where the locals were on holiday. The incident generated a furious reaction among Russian public figures. The Defense Ministry said U.S. specialists had set the missiles' flight coordinates on the basis of information from U.S. spy satellites, meaning Washington was directly responsible. Responsibility for the deliberate missile attack on the civilians of Sevastopol is borne above by Washington, which supplied these weapons to the Ukraine and by the Kiev regime, whose territory this strike was carried out, the ministry said. I mean, this alone could get us into World War III. You're attacking innocents, and really, from what I'm seeing here, they wanted the death toll to be way higher. And it would have been, I guess, had Russia not shot down a lot of these before they got to their thing. And then we have this also taking place today. At least five police officers dead and a priest beheaded after terrorist attacks on a church and a synagogue in Dagestan, Russia. Officials allege terrorists were using NATO-supplied weapons. So it's like NATO, America, Ukraine are doing everything they can possibly do to provoke Russia at this point. Another headline read, alert, Israeli nuclear plant targeted. War imminent, mass extraction from Lebanon, Samson option, B-52 nukes. I believe that's a whole video from Canadian Prepper on this. Then alert, USA is going to war. Russia gave advanced nuclear missile to North Korea. Canada, the Canadian citizens are fleeing Lebanon. This whole thing in the Middle East with Israel and Lebanon, from what I'm seeing, unless, you know, God intervenes, that's where they're also, the war is going to escalate into that, and that quickly could escalate if they go into Lebanon, because you could have their allies coming in to help Lebanon, and then Israel's allies coming, and then here you got a World War III type scenario. Then, covert intel, Hezbollah preparing massive missile barrage upon Israel, which is unprecedented. We could, again, can't say how this is going to turn out, but this might very well be the start of World War III, or the makings of it. Then we have this: Putin just made an ominous nuclear warning. And I just added this in, and this is how my teachings tend to go, where I am literally adding in. It will take me, in order to compile information for a given teaching, it might take me weeks, and then I'll have the current events for that week come in. And what it always does is it pushes my teachings to a point where I'm starting typically after 8 p.m. on a Sunday night, because I've got so much stuff to add in, like last minute. It's just typically kind of the way it works out. So I'm going to go ahead and play this video here.
I sure hope they're paying attention, because Vladimir Putin has just issued what can only be described as a chilling warning involving nuclear weapons, global world order, and NATO's continued provocation. Oh, and that NATO lie that Russia launched an unprovoked war against Ukraine. Yeah, that lie is now crumbling right before our eyes. We've got a few big stories that are unfolding this weekend that I want to bring to you. So while Russia had nuclear submarines off the Florida coast this week, and Putin was laying out a nuclear policy with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, the White House was busy doing important work for Pride Month, inviting men in dresses to stage fake press conferences in the White House press briefing room.
JVN. Oh, yes. Yes.
And you've got a literal gay flag. Gay light, the lights of the gay rainbow, okay, literally bathing the front of the White House in order for them to, you know, support their gay agenda, an agenda that, you know, the Bible forbids, condemns in Romans 1, condemns in Leviticus, and elsewhere in the Bible. There's whole times when Hebrew kings would, or they would go into areas and they were told to, you know, break down, you know, go after the Sodomites and break down their groves. And it was, a lot of times it was associated with witchcraft and this type of thing, because it's just debauchery leads to more debauchery leads to more debauchery. And then you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, raining down fire and brimstone. Not exactly a something that I think we should be glorifying, you know, in the modern day church. I mean, come on. Sodom and Gomorrah is a really great example. A whole town filled with gay guys, essentially. And I'm not sure what the women folk were in that town. Doesn't say a lot about them, but I mean, just you read that story and it's really sobering. And, you know, fire and brimstone killed every person there, you know, saved Job's family that got out. So not exactly a glowing endorsement for homosexuality, but I'm just going to back this up just a hair.
Important work for Pride Month, inviting men in dresses to stage fake press conferences in the White House press briefing room.
JVN.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Is it true that it's all your natural hair?
Yes, I can confirm that this is not a wig.
Okay, so there's some gay guy with long hair in the White House press briefing room. Now, the Bible says that doesn't nature therefore itself teacheth us that it is a shame for a man to have long hair. But long hair in a woman is like for her covering, for her, the Bible says the glory of a woman is her long hair. I understand that all women can grow long hair. I get it. I understand that. I'm just saying, I've done studies on this before. I just give you what the Bible says, okay? What the King James Bible says clearly. And, you know, you've got this guy that has this super long hair, literally where they do the press briefings. And he's doing like this little, I don't know if he's really gay or what, but he's doing like this gay press briefing little thing. And I, wherever this is at, if it's in the White House or whatever, it's unbelievable.
Is it true that it's all your natural hair?
Yes, I can confirm that this is not a wig.
Follow-up question, do you use your own products?
So now you know why the world doesn't take us seriously anymore. But over to someone who people are taking seriously, and that's Vladimir Putin right now. So Asia rolled out the red carpet for Putin this week during his Asia tour, which included stops in North Korea, Vietnam. Putin dropped a bombshell, both metaphorically and potentially literally. He called out NATO, citing recent escalations and threats. He's signaling a potential change to Russia's nuclear deterrence policy. And he said defeat in Ukraine would mean the end of Russia. A defeat in Ukraine would mean the end of Russia. So that's not going to happen, despite what NATO thinks.
I think Zelensky and his friends will obviously know when there are Russian tanks in Kiev. I'm afraid that's what it's probably going to take. And I think Mr. Putin has figured that out. And I sense that something really big is coming.
This is a major change to their nuclear policy. So now Russia will not just use nukes in response to nukes if they're attacked, but also if there's a threat to the existence of Russia itself. So what's exceedingly chilling about that is that Putin is combining rhetoric with a very tangible show of military support. He's not just blathering on and on and making statements that he's not backing up. No, he's putting in place a Russian nuclear triad, which is a strategic defense mechanism that consists of intercontinental ballistic missiles, submarine-launched ballistic missiles, and bombers. This is not just a hollow threat, guys. The nuclear triad, by the way, is crucial for maintaining a balance of power in the world, and it's something only a few nations, including the United States, actually possess. So take a look at this map. This is really interesting. This shows what countries have nuclear triad capabilities right now. And when you look at this, what does this mean in practical terms? Well, it shows Russia's readiness to elevate its strategic deterrence to any perceived existential threats. And as Putin sternly noted when he was in Vietnam, this involves not just theoretical capabilities, but actual deployment of advanced systems across the world. This is why Putin's comments this week are so worrying, particularly for NATO. He told the press that Russia's nuclear forces are constantly in a state of combat readiness, bolstered by recent agreements with nations like North Korea. Now let's discuss NATO as a piece of this. So Putin's rhetoric isn't happening in a vacuum. There are specific provocations by NATO that will lead us to war. Nigel Farage this week let the cat out of the bag. The West brought war to Ukraine. It's NATO's fault that Putin invaded Ukraine. And he said this back in 2014 on the floor of Parliament.
Just to make that worse, of course, some NATO members said they too would like the Ukraine to join NATO. We directly encouraged the uprising in the Ukraine that led to the toppling of the president, Yanukovych, and that led, of course, in turn to Vladimir Putin reacting. And the moral of the story is if you poke the Russian bear with a stick, don't be surprised when he reacts.
So that was 2014 after the coup in Ukraine, and he's warning us again that Putin doesn't bluff. Keep poking the bear, and we are going to be facing World War III.
I stood up in the European Parliament in 2014, and I said, and I quote, there will be a war in Ukraine. Why did I say that? It was obvious to me that the ever eastward expansion of NATO and the European Union was giving this man a reason to his Russian people to say they're coming for us again and to go to war.
And during his talks, Putin pointed to NATO's activities as threats not only in Europe, but now even in the Asia-Pacific region. He said this while he was in North Korea, and he said this while he was in Vietnam. Antiwar.com reports that he accused NATO of threatening security in Asia for Russia and other nations, making a deeply interconnected argument that any NATO action globally is a potential threat to Russian security anywhere. So this, guys, is a huge departure. And now NATO is not ignoring Putin's message.
Putin must not win. That would show that aggression works and force is rewarded. It would be dangerous for our own security and for the whole world. So we must sustain and step up our support for Ukraine.
So now NATO is responding to Putin's response, to their response. You see how this goes, this escalation? So when Putin uses the word existential, an existential threat, he means a threat to the very existence of something. In this case, a threat to the existence of Russia. The threat to Russia's existence is NATO walking right up to their doorstep. Now, a few weeks ago, NATO posted a tweet saying, "We never made a deal with Russia. We never told them that we wouldn't expand. We never put that in writing. We're a defensive organization that is totally peaceful, and we have every right to expand." Well, that, of course, was an absolute lie, and now we have confirmation that it's a lie. Newly unearthed documents from the year 1990 from then U.S. Secretary of State James Baker put it in writing, sending a letter to Gorbachev in Russia saying, quote, NATO won't expand even one inch to the east. Then you have our assurances of that. Boom. In writing. So NATO lied to all of us. Here you have the de facto head of NATO saying he won't expand one inch. You don't have to worry about it. And just look at that expansion to Russia's doorstep. This is a crazy time lapse showing just how far and how fast NATO has marched. Not only has NATO expanded, but they've quite literally surrounded Russia. This is not going to end well.
He's showing maps in the background to bolster all of this. If you want to watch it, it's to have the visual impact.
Now we need to look at the North Korean piece of this, and it's often overlooked how deep these alliances are. Putin's recent pact with Kim Jong-un ramps up the stakes even further. And this isn't, guys, just some posturing here. This
Putin and Kim Jong-un, like one of the most evil men on the planet. I mean, you just research North Korea. Hey, they're driving around footloose and fancy free in some, I don't know, it looks like an SUV or something they're in. Just, you know, joshing around. Two good buddies just, you know, shooting the breeze. I've never quite seen a video like that in my life, but yeah, it shows them doing it.
Agreement strengthens military ties, nuclear energy ties, sending uranium to North Korea, and could even see advanced weapon systems in Pyongyang, a direct counterbalance to the United States' presence in South Korea. And, by the way, Putin threatened South Korea this past week. Putin warned South Korea that arms deliveries to Ukraine would be a, quote, very big mistake, and that Russia, quote, reserves the right to supply weapons to other regions in response, meaning that if the West arms Ukraine, Russia arms North Korea, and you'd be making a huge mistake if this happens. He basically said, don't try it, I'm not bluffing. We're at a very perilous precipice right now. Putin's warnings cannot and should not be dismissed. He's aligning military might with strategic partnerships and has set clear red lines that NATO and the West cannot afford to ignore. They can't afford to ignore these signals or misrepresent them as mere saber rattling. He doesn't bluff. As Nigel Farage said, if you poke the bear, you're going to get attacked.
And the moral of the story is if you poke the Russian bear with a stick, don't be surprised when he reacts.
So, guys, that's the news update part of today.
Okay, so now we're going to segue to this report. The Ukraine, the war in Ukraine has a very, very dark secret, and Ukrainian families are demanding answers. This is just macabre. This is evil, heinous, but it doesn't surprise me at the same time. So I'm going to go ahead and roll this one.
Well, the war in Ukraine has a dark side, not just the 600,000 dead, of course, young men who were forced to fight in Zelensky's war, not just all the child trafficking going on in Ukraine, not just the baby-making factories in Ukraine. Didn't hear about that? Yeah, right. Those are real,
yeah.
By the way. We've covered it.
Yep.
And in case you need a refresher, here is the Swiss-based baby surrogacy company, Biotexcom, with a promo video explaining exactly how the desperate Ukrainian women can come into their bunkers, have their uterus basically turned into a baby-making machine in order to make some quick cash.
Now I will show you our bomb shelter, where we will transfer our clients and their newborns in case of the outbreak of hostilities in Kyiv.
We'll transfer our clients and their newborns in the case of outbreak of hostilities. Okay, and this isn't a parody video. This is actually real.
So look at our nice facilities here.
Here is a toilet. Here we have a first aid kit. There are all the medications needed to administer first aid. Here you can see gas masks. There are instructions on how to use a gas mask all over the shelter. This bomb shelter can hold up to 200 people who will feel comfortable here. Here is our sitting and bedding zone. There are sleeping bags and beds. It's possible to sit.
I mean, they're just going to be sleeping on hard floors. These evidently impregnated women who are like breeders to replenish all the, you know, people dying. I mean, this is just dark. This is just beyond comprehension.
Lie here. We have enough sleeping bags and gas masks for everyone who will stay here. There are shelvings with food, as well as tableware, napkins, diapers, and all the stuff needed for babies.
It's just, honestly, this is just grievous to watch. It's pitiful. I feel so sorry for these poor women, for the people caught in this. I mean, it's just horrible.
Newborns will feel comfortable here. Everything needed can be done here. Here is our children's area. Here we can place newborn babies. There are special cots prepared for them. There are also cribs for a bit older babies. You can see that babies feel absolutely comfortable here.
Yeah. It's like staying at the Four Seasons. Yes, using them as baby-making factories, surrogates, need a womb, we've got you covered, and the rent-a-womb business is booming.
And they showed women in there that had already had, you know, babies, and I've never seen anything like that.
Right now, and expected to double over the next few years. And the best place to do it, of course, is in Ukraine, where desperate women are being exploited, of course. It's now, no, it's even worse than the baby bunkers, we should point out, if you can believe that. No, Ukrainian moms are mad as hell. Ukrainian moms are going to conscription offices and raising hell about their sons being dragged off to war. That's one thing. Of course, the mainstream media won't show you those videos. Those are astonishing to see all of these moms fighting back. But they are fed up and they want answers as to who's been harvesting the organs of their sons and their husbands.
Yeah.
Who died on the battlefield after they were conscripted and thrown into the meat grinder? These Ukrainian women are demanding that the authorities hand over the information on who harvested the organs from their dead husbands and their dead sons. When they received their bodies, there were surgical marks and surgical removal of their organs.
Oh my God.
Sold off on the black market.
You've heard me talk about this many, many times. I've warned about this. I've warned about, signing that organ donor card, how that makes you a target, a literal target. The amount of money they can make off a healthy person harvesting their organs is insane in America. And guess what, guys? When they harvest the organs, the body has to be alive. And they can't use anesthesia because that would taint the organ. I've done whole studies on this. Just key an organ transplant. I've done warnings on blood transfusions. I mean, I just want everybody to have the full disclosure. Even plasma and that type of thing. These human, and now with the advent of the COVID shots and these vaccines, how that is actually tainting not only the organs, but the blood supply and these types of things. I mean, it is a absolute total minefield. I've done whole studies. I have whole files on everything that I just mentioned. And again, just go to contendingfortruth.com and do some keyword searches.
Here's the original Ukrainian audio of moms protesting in Kiev. And then I'm going to play the English version.
Пишем, скривають, інформація удаляється. Ми зробимо афішу на весь Київ, на всі города. І не ми одні, нас 11 закатованих ребят, які повернулися без органів. Без органів!
Okay, so I wish they had subtitles here, but it appears that they don't have subtitles on this, so I'm going to kind of skip through this. Oh, hold on. I'm getting some subtitles now. Hold on. Yeah. These are moms.
Now, here's the just an English quick translation of this, so you can hear some of this.
There you go.
We write, we hide, the information is deleted.
Right.
We will make a poster for all of Kyiv, for all cities. And we're not alone. We are 11 tortured boys who returned without organs.
Right. Tortured is very, very applicable because they find them wounded and they're like, we need these organs. And we're going to say you're not going to make it, even though you probably could make it, because we can make gobs of money off this, off these boys taking their organs and harvesting them while they're alive. Nobody has to know the torture of getting your organs harvested alive. You're on the battlefield. Who's going to know? They do the same thing in hospitals. And the organ donator card that you signed sets you up for that. Now you're a target. I mean, if you were like, you know, in your 60s or I don't know at what point they would say, okay, well, these organs aren't viable anymore. The person's too old. I'm not exactly 100% sure on the cutoff there, but these are all military age fighting men. And these are their moms. When they got their bodies back, they had all these organs missing. And this is what they're protesting. And the moms are saying they're just totally sweeping all this under the rug.
Закатованих ребят, які повернулися без органів. Без органів.
Now here's the just.
I backed up a little bit.
So quick translation of this, so you can hear some of this.
We write, we hide. The information is deleted. We will make a poster for all of Kyiv, for all cities, and we're not alone. We are 11 tortured boys who returned without organs. Without organs.
Can I answer?
No.
Can you imagine if that was your child? And then you started putting two and two together?
I mean, it's hers. She made it in her body.
Yeah.
Those organs were made.
And her son is dead now.
Yeah.
And someone robbed her son's organs.
That were made inside of her.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're hers. They belong to her. She has a right to know.
Where are
she's got very maternal. And hey, I'm cool with it all. It's just beyond comprehension. Absolutely beyond, sick, evil, twisted, and beyond comprehension. But this is one of the biggest money makers on planet Earth is just this organ harvesting stuff. Taylor also wanted to chime in. She said she has a friend, and his grandmother, was a nurse, and she told him to never sign an organ donor card or take the flu shot. And I would add, and don't any vaccines. Because if you look at the breakdown of all vaccines, it is like a witch's brew in every single one. All you have to do is get a physician's desk reference and look up the ingredients. And in, I think it's about at least, I don't even know how many now, because a lot of the COVID shots were also cultured off aborted fetal cell lines. Yeah, you hear me right. MMR, a lot of the COVID shots, the chicken pox, there's many, many. There's probably at least over 20 now that are used as a culturing medium to procure the vaccine, the aborted fetal cell lines from human babies. This is not a rumor. This is easily verifiable. Okay, and it'll even tell you the cell line it comes from, and you'll look it up in the PDR, and it'll say human diploid cells. That's from an aborted fetal cell line, and then it'll tell you what line it came from. MR7, WI-38. There's different ones that they use. I'm going to give you a link in this study, if I can get to it today, where you can research that more. I've talked a lot about that with the COVID shots. That the majority of the COVID shots were also cultured off aborted fetal cell lines. Not even talking about all the nanotech that is within them. Not even talking about the graphene oxide. Not even talking about the spike protein factor. That's a whole other issue. So this is, why would you grow a vaccine off an aborted baby? How could that be something that would bless you? But remember, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, lest he get an advantage of us. The New World Order, the global government, all of these things, it's no mystery that they're trying to depopulate the planet, and they're trying to defile humanity. Why? Because we're created in God's image. And those are just a couple ways that they're doing it. Horrific ways, but a couple ways.
My son's organs missing from his dead body, or worse yet, where's my son's kidney? He's still alive.
Oh no.
So when you're operating on him, also taking out organs of people who are still alive under sedation, who were harmed, injured on the battlefield, or down and out for a number of days, they wake up, oh, there's happens to be some organs missing. Now, recall, you'll remember, Zelensky signed a law that lets Ukrainians harvest organs without consent. And at the time...
And that's, what a great law to sign. He's even giving the date here, 5-1 of 22. Zelensky signs law regulating organ transplantation. Ukrainian President Zelensky has signed a law regulating the transplantation of anatomical materials into humans, including the issue of payment and giving or not giving consent for organ donation. So they don't have to have your consent. We can just take your organs. We own you. I mean, and this is unfortunately what happens when you join the military forces in any particular given country. They basically own you. They can vaccinate you to the gills. I can't tell you how many listeners I've had who are ex-military come back to me, particularly in more modern times, and say, yeah, they gave me like, you know, 50 vaccines. I'll never be the same. I'm a dead man walking. I know it. I can't tell you how many listeners have told me that. And you can't refuse it because of an executive order Bill Clinton signed in the 90s, and it's actually in my avian flu presentation. They don't have to tell you what they're giving you or what it does or anything about it. And they don't have to have your consent. They own you lock, stock, and barrel. No thank you.
Ukrainians were flipping out about this. Ukrainians were pissed. Ukrainians took to social media and they're like, what in the hell? Really? Without our consent, you could just take our organs? Yes, Zelensky signed that law. Ukrainian soldiers literally more profitable dead than alive,
right,
to the Zelensky government, because they can sell off those organs and make a lot of money per soldier. I mean, organs are very expensive.
And they will be doing the same thing when this thing goes into a World War III mode. It won't just be Ukraine that they're doing this. This will be American soldiers they're doing this to. This will be European. This will be anybody, you know, where they're in an area or they're under the jurisdiction where they're going to do this. And I think it's going to be, from what I'm seeing, mostly NATO. I'm not saying Russia wouldn't do it, or, you know, North Korea or China. I'm not saying they want to do the same thing. War's a racket, like has been said so many times. And this is part of that racket.
On the black market. How is that possible, you ask? Well, listen as these women explain Zelensky's law, which simplifies the transplant system. And now this is in place for about almost 2 years now. This new law has been in place. And it lets Ukrainians harvest organs without your consent. So the people that are rounded up, taken to these hospitals, they've been bombed, doesn't matter. You may or may not have your organs when you wake up. Listen to these women explain.
Okay, so I think this goes into a big... It's in the foreign language and then they translate it. But if you want to watch the rest, it's another 15 minutes. You know, this is the link. It's in the PDF for the study. Again, I'm trying to kind of give you the cliff note version of everything because there's just so much to cover every time I do an audio. So the next report that relates to this subject is why conscription, or like mandatory military draft, is coming back and what you can do about it. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak recently pledged to bring back mandatory national service. The German government has also mulled reinstating compulsory military service. I've talked about this a lot lately. In Ukraine, it's not uncommon for the government agents to forcibly kidnap civilians off the street and send them to the front. There's video of it. And then, hey, you get injured. Oh boy, here comes the organ harvesters. These are a few recent examples. There seems to be a clear trend of governments preparing their citizens for some sort of mandatory national service. The U.S. is now automatically registering all males between 18 and 26 into the Selective Service Data Bank. We reported on this last week. Anyway, this trend towards conscription everywhere in the West is most disturbing. Then we have this insane. The Senate Dems are blasted for adding women to the military draft. So I'm going to go ahead and play this. Okay, so let's go ahead and play this one.
This is Dabu 7. Here, as of late, there's been a lot of talk of military drafts and things like that being imposed in the United States. The House had brought up this resolution that talked about certain age men in this country having to register at 18 to get into the military services. Now, the Democrats are being blasted because they're talking about trying to add women into this. And it has really upset many, many people that are out there. One is the guy you see here on the right, Sam Brown. He is an Army captain who volunteered to go into the Army, him and his wife, and he took some injuries. As you can see, a lot of the scars on his face, but I want to share a little bit of what he has to say here real quick.
Unbelievable. You won't believe the news I just got. Look at my face. This is the high cost of war. And I just found out that Jackie Rosen voted this week to make signing up for the draft mandatory for our daughters. You'll be hearing more from me on this, but this is an unbelievable and unacceptable way for our senators to be voting right now.
So he's not the only one upset, and many are saying that they think that this is going to get shot down at some point here. It's going to fold or get thrown out.
I wouldn't bet on it, because even if it does, they go into a World War III scenario, they're going to be like, okay, now we've got the pretext, now we've got the justification. Mandatory women, and they'll start with a certain age range, and then they'll start expanding it out. Because that's the trend we're already seeing here. You see what they're doing in the Ukraine, in this type of stuff, and they're going to, you cannot trust the satanic elite.
Roger Wicker, he says that he's opposed to this, and that he hopes it falls out either on the floor or in conference. So this talk of drafting Americans to send off to fight these bankster wars, it's growing more and more. Now, talking about coming for people's daughters, some are saying absolutely insane and despicable. Nonetheless, this is what's out there floating around.
Okay, and to add to this, I give you two or three different reports here. Breaking: 2025 NDAA authorizes mandatory military draft for men and women ages 18 to 26 across America. As the Pentagon pursues global nuclear war with both Russia and China at the same time. Then this is another confirmation. The audio is not that great, but it says, will women be drafted? Yes, according to this. So I'll give you a couple different confirmations there. You can explore if you like. Then also, this relates to this subject. Pentagon funds lab-grown meat initiative. This will fund research for novel cell culture methods and military rations. So not only are they going to go in there and just vaccinate your sons and daughters with only God knows what to the nth degree, because nobody's more vaccinated than those that are going into the military. And they own you lock, stock, and barrel. But now a Department of Defense DOD initiative would involve feeding U.S. troops lab-grown meat as part of its campaign to stem global climate change. Of course, that lie. According to a watchdog group that has recently drawn attention to the initiative, BioMade, a lab-grown meat manufacturer, which is also sponsored and funded by the U.S. Department of Defense, touted its record of innovation in announcing federal funds budget ceiling to increase to $500 million to assist in implementing the plan so that all the troops could eat Frankenfood. Should the U.S. soldiers be really serving as guinea pigs or lab rats for an experimental new lab-grown product in which there aren't any long-term studies and the public doesn't even know the ingredients, Mr. Hubbard told the Epoch Times. Why are we using American tax dollars to feed our troops a product most people wouldn't give to their own children, or their own dogs for that matter, or cats? Synthetic meat-like products are created by taking cells acquired from animals, placing them in a warm, sterile area, using a metal vat, where they are then combined into a solution of chemicals that causes the cells to double once a day. Sounds pretty natural to me. Certain ingredients are withheld from the public due to proprietary rights of the producer. So again, just like the vaccines, they don't have to tell you what's in it. Frankenfood. And then we have this. Something is planning something big in New York City. Police uniforms, police car decals, and police radios all are going missing. Real trouble seems to be brewing in New York City as word comes of missing NYPD, New York Police Department uniforms, police car decal kits, and Motorola radios. We begin with the uniforms. According to internal NYPD sources, 19 full NYPD uniforms have gone missing from a dry cleaner. The only item not included in the uniform theft is the badge. Well, the badge wouldn't have been there. They would have stole that too. Another NYPD internal source also confirms that 200 full and complete sets of NYPD police car decals have gone missing from a vendor who supplies them to the police department, the city police department. A third internal NYPD source revealed today that 31 unassigned Motorola VX-P949 police walkie-talkies are now also unaccounted for and have access to all NYPD channels and encryption protocols. So, who is it that's grabbing all this NYPD gear, and what is it that they are planning? Now, I think if you listen to my previous studies, it'd be pretty obvious. An NYPD uniform, car, and radio will get the bearer into literally anywhere, literally at any time, virtually unquestioned. With that kind of access, a perpetrator could do just about anything. And this was on the AmericanThinker.com. You know, was talking about this. I post two links there, but they're one of them. But then we have this. The city of Seattle now recruiting illegal aliens to join its police force. The city of Seattle is now actively recruiting DACA recipients or illegal aliens to join its police force. City leaders defunded and demoralized the police. When the people finally realized the impact and struggled to find others in times of need, the city attempted to recruit new officers but faced a shortage of applicants. Problem, reaction, solution. So let's bring in the illegals now to be our police forces. They're here illegally. Why not reward them for being here illegally and let them have their pound of flesh over the law-abiding American citizens? And that's what's here and what's coming.
Get ready, because this scenario that they're mentioning in these documents is basically they're getting real detailed with it, and not just documents. We're going to go into what's actually happening in the recent goings. We found out that Chinese cyber police agents are running online networks, helping the illegal immigrants to flood into U.S.
Yeah, that would make total sense, because China is trying to destroy the U.S. from within. And if they can facilitate bringing in the illegal aliens, they're going to do everything they can do to get that done.
See right here, here's a Telegram website. And what makes it 10 times worse is the fact that they're now saying they're going to fill the ranks in Seattle. And you can see it right here. This is the police department saying,
right,
we're accepting.
Right on there, it looks like right on their webpage. The Seattle Police Department is now accepting applications from DACA recipients, illegal aliens, essentially. Apply now. SeattlePoliceJobs.com.
Application from DACA recipients. This is the invasion. This is the emergency. Again, we got a corrupt government. That's why they're not telling us this is an emergency. But we're about to go deep into this here. And then by the end of the video, you're going to see these documents where they're talking about, I think they expect something to happen like during the hot time of the year or something. Because in these documents that the military released from RAND, they're actually getting real like deep into the scenario at hand. But imagine that. What do you think about this right here? Isn't this traitorous for you to even do something like this? 700 cops?
Ooh.
So now you know that
700 cops are going to be replacing with illegals.
China is running.
That hate our guts for the most part. I'm sure they'll pick the ones that hate our guts the most. Because so many of these military age, fighting age males, again, this is what I've been warning about. This is what they're going to... This is why they're putting them in that exact position.
The invasion teams, and that's how they're going to have their own forces on the ground here. And no wonder the beds are empty. No wonder they need more detention beds, because they're preparing for it to be flipped and reversed on us.
Right.
To where, obviously, it's troops. Obviously, it's them doing this. And in New York, they've had some of the police department basically uniforms start missing over there. So they're not hiring them over there, but their uniforms are starting to missing.
Right.
The vehicle vinyl stickers are starting to come up missing. So even if they don't hire him, they've been actually getting access to the White House anyway, and fake agents.
Right.
And this is the crazy part about it, because, again, everything that's happening right now is just on this triple-up crisis level. And do you think those people could have gotten there by mistake, or you think Biden and all of them allowed them in there? To me, I think they probably potentially allowed them in there. Let me know what you think in the comments.
Well, of course they allowed them in there. They've been allowing them over by the millions for years now. I mean, you know, we've talked about the Darien Gap and the UN and the World Health Organization and America and all the Central American and the Mexico and all these countries facilitating this invasion into the United States, all by design, on purpose. Just one aspect of how they're trying to implode and destroy America. So for more along these lines, this video is entitled, "It's Happening, Liberal Sanctuary Cities Collapsing Because of This."
Well, if you go to any liberal city across the United States, you're likely to be met with the same thing. City resources stretch beyond repair, a wave of criminality, businesses closed up. Who wants to do business when everyone breaks into your store on a regular basis? All thanks, of course, to the flood of illegal immigrants in these so-called sanctuary cities. And nowhere is that more apparent than when you visit New York City. Walk into any random hotel throughout the city, and you might be met by a security guard who will tell you, "Sorry, you have to leave." And you'll say, "Why? This is a hotel." And they'll say, "Not anymore." That's because now it's home to hundreds of illegal immigrants living in these particular hotels. That's exactly what J.J. Carroll just uncovered in his latest investigation in New York City. Of course, J.J. spent 24 years as a Customs and Border Protection supervisor. He's building a brand new documentary called Treason, and it's taken him all over the country into the darkest recesses of the United States right now, from the U.S. border to New York City to liberal cities in between. And his latest investigation brought him to the liberal East Coast. God help us all. JJ joins us now to talk about his latest jaunt to New York City, a place that I used to call home. I used to go to work in Midtown Manhattan. JJ, right there, Fox News, right there next to Times Square, right there next to 30 Rockefeller Center, and do my job. But not anymore. This is an absolute disaster zone, I guess.
It is a disaster zone. And let me just tell you a quick story. This tells you how big New York City's gigantic, right? You live there, it's overwhelming, the size. But the illegal alien invasion and what's happening there equals the size of New York City. Let me give you an example. I fly in, Ryan Matta, my business partner and film crew of our documentary, This Is Treason. We get off our flight, we're going to go to our Airbnb because we want to unload all of our cameras and stuff, because we're going to be kind of all over the city and kind of really bad areas. So we want to unload it. So we pump it in the GPS, the address, and off we go. We end up in like this parking lot off a street in New York City, and I'm looking at up there, it's like a 10-story hotel, and I'm like, okay, well maybe it's like a condo or an apartment complex that they rent out. I don't know. It's New York City. Just roll with it. So as we're walking to the door, I'm looking around and there's people meandering around. There's a stack of bikes pushed up with strollers and clothes. And I'm like, what in God's name is this? And as I approach the entrance to the hotel or the apartment complex, a security guard like comes out of nowhere and it's like right in my face. And he goes, "Can't come in here." And Ryan and I were kind of like startled, and we're like, "Well, no, we have we're trying to show him we have reservations for Airbnb." And he's like, "No." And Ryan starts to not have an argument with him, but just trying to explain to him. And when he's doing that, I'm looking around, and then it clicks. And I look at right at the security guard, and I go, "This is a migrant shelter, isn't it?" And he goes, "Yes."
Wow.
And I go, "Oh, my God." And we looked at the address, and Ryan goes, "I put the wrong digit in." So our Airbnb was just like a block away. That shows you the enormity, Clayton, of this situation, that they're everywhere. And it's nondescript. You have no idea. There's no signage. There's nothing. But there's hundreds of those. People don't know that 50% of all hotels in New York City are contracted for illegal aliens. 50%. Yes, and growing. Oh my God. And then there was an article came out 2 weeks ago where they showed that it's supply and demand, right? So everyone's coming to New York City. Everybody visits, go to business. But the hotel, the other 50%, because of supply and demand, their nightly rates are skyrocketing.
Oh, yeah.
So you're talking about billions of dollars of taxpayer money.
So they're taking up all the rooms, and so supply and demand, then the rooms that are available are skyrocketing. Supply and demand, it'll dictate the price. So that's another wonderful byproduct of this invasion of all these illegals to annihilate our country.
That are housing hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens in New York City. They stay there for free, so they get free housing, free meals a day, free laundry service, their cell phones. And we're walking around some of these, I hate saying migrant shelters, illegal alien shelters. And I'm looking at men walk around with ankle bracelets on, like the ankle, the monitors. And I'm like, God, they're everywhere. And then we went down one that I have to tell you about. I showed and you sent you the video.
Before you get that, what are the ankle bracelets for? These have been individuals who've been arrested and they're out on some sort of probation and they're being tracked?
This is a great question. I'm glad you asked me because I apologize for just going over it because I'm so used to this insanity. So this is called Alternative to Detention, ATD. So under the INA, the Immigration Nationality Act, it is against the law to release illegal aliens into America. It's against the law. So then you ask, well, how are they releasing all these people? Well, Mayorkas came out with this Alternative to Detention, and he said, well, they're still detained because I either put an ankle monitor on them or I give them a brand new iPhone and I track them. So they are still detained. It's like me. I know you think I'm making this up. It's crazy. I wrote it in my book because it's so insane. So I rob a bank and the judge says, JJ, you're going to go to jail for 8 years in San Quentin. Oh, dear God, 8 years. Don't worry. I'm going to put an ankle monitor on you and you're still detained. You just go wherever you want in America, but you just have to check in every now. Holy cow. Yeah, I'll do that. So when you see these people wearing these big bracelets, ankle monitors, understand that they're under this program and they have done studies, FOIA requests, where the people that are, this is a third party, monitors them. They're like, yeah, we have no idea where they are because they cut them off and they throw them away. Or they take the SIM cards out of their, and they get new SIM cards and no one knows where anybody, it's all a lie. Basically what I'm telling you, it's all a lie. But they're all over New York City but they're all over America. There's millions of people. I mean, if you want to get into something that's crazy, I mean, it's Orwellian. We actually went to, they call these places reticketing centers. Have you heard this?
No.
So reticketing means, so you had DeSantis and Abbott flying illegal aliens or busing them into New York. The liberal left goes crazy and says that's racist and that's terrible. Well, actually, New York City now is flying people out of New York City and paying for it, and it's called a reticketing center. So if I'm an illegal alien, I come into the center and I say, I want to go to Hawaii, I want to go.
So they did all this stuff to bring them here, costing who knows how many thousands per illegal alien, then house them, feed them. And then, hey, where do you want to go, princess? Anywhere you want to go, your heart's content. You want to go to Hawaii? You want to go? And we'll fly you out because we've got a few too many of you here now. I mean, and this is your taxpayer money, hard at work. Meanwhile, law-abiding Americans many times are being just annihilated with skyrocketing inflation, skyrocketing rents, you skyrocketing, you name it.
To Brazil, I want to go wherever. They will get you a ticket out one way, and you have to sign a document saying you'll never come back to New York City. It's insane. So you're looking at thousands of flights every day going out. So you're looking at billions of dollars. New York City is probably costing them $3 to $4 billion a year.
Oh yeah.
A year. And I'm looking at a city that's crumbling. Like I drove around and I'm like, well, $1 billion here and $1 billion there would make a difference. No. Give it to all the illegal aliens.
Exactly.
Give it all to them.
Amen.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And I interrupted you. You were describing seeing a really disastrous part of New York City as you were driving around. Can you explain that before I interrupted you?
Oh, yeah. It's a place called Hall Street. And it's another nondescript illegal alien holding facility. And the way that you know that you're approaching one of these places is out of nowhere. You know, you've lived in New York City. It's bustling. People are moving, right? And you gotta, if you're not moving, you're in the way. Not in these shelters, in these areas. So the moment you start to get near one of these, and they're nondescript, there's no markings, there's no nothing, all of a sudden you begin to see hordes of men just hanging out, doing nothing, literally just sitting, and they take over the whole city block. So we're going down Hall Street, we turn, and even I'm riding with my co-host on my...
he's filming, he's showing footage of what he's describing as well.
Cash, Brian O'Shea, former intel analyst embedded with special forces in Afghanistan, in the Middle East. Even he was like, oh my God, because we turned a corner and there's several hundred men dressed kind of like the way you see men dress in pictures in the continent of Africa and the Middle East, just sitting there roaming around the city block. All, no women, no children, all single adult military age men from continent of Africa, the Middle East and Haiti. And you're like, whoa, well, hold on. What just happened? Where did I end up?
They're just awaiting orders.
And I said, Brian, tell me about this neighborhood. He goes, well, right across the street, this is upper middle class. They're putting these men right in the upper middle class areas because there's no, they have to put them all over the city. They can't just squeeze them down into Queens or something like that. So you are having hundreds, if not 1,000 military age adult males in one little small building, nondescript. So you just drive by. If you don't see them meandering around in hordes, you have no idea what's going on. None. They've hidden them in plain sight. And what I told Brian, and I told Ryan too, I said, you got to make sure of this. I said, get this on camera because I need the audience to understand this. This is shocking to see, right? Just on just 200, 300 of these men. It's shocking, right? Because they're aggressive. They look angry. They look perturbed. I said, that's not concerning to me. Concerning to me is they represent millions, tens of millions of those men are in our country. Exactly. Not hundreds of thousands, which is already unnerving, but I'm telling you, millions. 30 million people have come into the United States of America under Joe Biden. Prior to that, 22 to 25. We're around 50, 52 million illegal aliens in America. I'm telling you, tens of millions are single adult military age men in America. Do the math, play it out, do some critical thinking. This does not end well. It just doesn't.
Have you been to, I mean, had you been to New York City a number of years ago and then came back now to see the difference? Have you seen a dramatic change at all in the city? Is it a totally different place now?
It's a totally different place, but I'm going to give you a little. So I played on a football team that was made up of law enforcement officers, and we played other teams. So we played New York Police Department at Floyd Bennett Field. Mm-hmm. Okay. That didn't register to me until we went out to Floyd Bennett Field to look at the giant migrant center they created. So I'm driving there and I'm like, hey, wait a minute, Floyd Bennett, I've been here about 8 years ago. This was, they had carnivals and it was beautiful. It was like a lower middle class neighborhood, but it was vibrant. And I'm driving around, I'm like, oh my God, I've been here before. Oh my God, what happened? And I'm driving in the middle of this, it's like a wooded area with a river and there's a lot of camping. No, they took it over in the middle of nowhere and built it. It's a FEMA camp. It has to hold between 2,000 and 4,000 people. But as you and I discussed in our prior time together, I didn't see 2,000 to 4,000 people there. I saw tens. I didn't see 500, 600, 700 workers that should be monitoring and working. I saw 10. So why is there a FEMA camp to hold thousands of illegal aliens and there's tens of illegal aliens in there? And it goes back to what we talked about before. You're building FEMA camps or detention facilities across the United States of America. For who?
For dissidents.
There's no one in there. Clayton, there's no one. Clayton, I drove by there. You have to go in. It's like a semicircle around it, right? And they have this buffer zone where you can't walk anywhere near the center. So you have to drive around. I would say the half circle of that drive around is 3 miles. Like, that's how big the camp is to drive around. And I'm like, okay, I get on one end, I drive back around. I'm like, dear God, this place is huge. It's holding anywhere from 2,000 to 4,000 people. It was $28 million to build that. $28 million, probably with millions of dollars a month to maintain. And Clayton, there's no one in it. There's no one in it.
And so yet they're taking over these hotels all throughout New York City clandestinely, so you don't even know they're there. Mm-hmm. All from
time. That's for the legal, law-abiding Americans that aren't going to go want to go along with the plan that they've got planned for them. Anybody that's, you know, Christian, conservative, right-leaning, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-Constitution. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, God's going to let them implement all of this. Okay, I'm just saying this is what they're planning.
Square, all the way up to the Upper West Side, down to Wall Street, down to Queens, all over the place. You have these illegal immigrant hotels now being taken over, but these FEMA camps are set up and there's no one there. And they're happening all 50 states. It's very
bizarre. That should make you at least pause, right?
Yeah.
And think about, okay, our government interned Japanese Americans, tens of thousands of them. They have done experimental testing on us, on U.S. citizens of all races and nationalities throughout the history of America. So why would you be shocked that our...
They do that every day when they spray us like cockroaches with the chemtrails. You know, that's ongoing every single day. The Naturad Doppler ultrasound or radar weather manipulation that they're using to create these storms. I mean, you could go on and on and on. They experiment on us every day. The 5G that we're being bombarded with. That's horrible for our physiology. Yeah, that's just a few examples.
Government now would do that to us. They're there. I mean, I think it's an honest, logical question to ask. Why are you building all these facilities and there's no one in them? Or they're just, their capacity, I mean, your vacancy and you have like 5% people in there out of 100%. But also, I think what needs to be stated too is there is an overwhelming feeling of criminality in New York City. I know that I have to kind of cut myself away from it because I already have this built in me in law enforcement that I'm expecting something. But there is an overwhelming feeling, and I've asked people that were around me, do you feel this too? Is it just me as a law enforcement guy? No, we feel it. And then you look at the crime statistics.
Yeah, because you can go there and see all these people, and you have to understand, military-age fighting men that want to do us harm, that have no allegiance to America, the vast majority of them, that might have an absolute hatred of Americans. Well, guess what? They're bringing all their spirits, all their devils, all their demons, all their false religion, whatever, if it's Islam, if it's Santeria, if it's like from Mexico, the gang cartels there, the Santa Muerte death cult, where they literally pray to the angel of death in order to get whatever they want. If they're from Africa, whatever kind of voodoo type, because that's where voodoo comes from, is Africa. Whatever type of pagan thing they're into, or again, the Middle Easterners with Islam, Chinese with whatever they believe. These are vessels that are occupied by many spirits, many evil spirits, for the most part, that hate your guts. Now, what I just said, I've never heard anybody talk about. And I know that I say I don't like to make blanket statements. I haven't heard it. I haven't heard anybody ever mention that particular aspect of the spiritual side of what they're bringing to America. And it's a real satanic melting pot from what I just described. And this is why you would feel very, very uneasy entering into one of these enclaves with all of these military age fighting men. Because you're going to pick up on this. Anybody that has any kind of discernment is going to be able to pick up on this.
Look, Mayor Adams and his city council, all Democrats, are proposing and trying to figure out a way to remove the sanctuary status laws out of their city. Because what they're doing is they're arresting illegal aliens. They can't turn them over to ICE because of special interest, because of the sanctuary cities. Then, because they have no bail, they're just releasing them. So you're arresting all these illegal aliens. They're coming out. You have illegal aliens shooting at cops, beating up U.S. citizens. Prostitution is off the chart. They're trying to legalize prostitution. But I tell people, listen, Mayor Adams doesn't have to legalize prostitution.
And again, all of these people are bringing in sin. Prostitution, only God knows what their religions are. Guarantee you they're not Bible-believing Christians, the absolute vast majority of them. And that's another reason they want to import this here. And a lot of them are disease-infested as well. Third world country, bringing all these diseases in. These are all things I have reported on ad infinitum in past teachings. And it's all part of the plan to defile America to the greatest possible degree and to have their satanic shock troops on standby for whenever and ready to go, you know, hit that go button whenever they're called upon to do so.
What to do is go down to the chief of police and say, don't make that a priority, right? And then, and I'm seeing that because I'm walking the streets and I'm like, oh my God, that's a brothel. Everybody knows it is. If I can see it, I just got here. Everyone else knows it, but they do nothing about it. So you're seeing the destruction, as we've talked about many times, illegal immigration, the invasion, the tentacles of criminality just keep growing and reaching every fabric of our society.
All in these liberal cities, all in these sanctuary cities. And it sounds good on paper, you know, they love to promote this idea, but then once the chickens come home...
It doesn't sound good on paper, I don't know. It does not sound good on paper. Anyway, you slice it. Anyway, so, next report. The Idaho farmland water shutoff coincidences keep coming. Now, we talked about Iowa, their water shut off, I believe, last week. Now, Idaho, they're trying to do something very similar. Idaho farmland water shut off because they want to cut off all of our food, too. All of our resources, all of our food, bring in their replacement populations that hate our guts, and so many other aspects of what they're doing. So Idaho farmland water shut off coincidences keep coming. I've posted showing evidence the real reason may be a land grab for cobalt mining. Okay, it appears they took that video down off Instagram. I think I found it in another spot. And I'm going to go ahead and roll this.
Here's a picture of Idaho's governor, Brad Little, at a ribbon-cutting ceremony for Jervis, the cobalt mining company, on October 7th, 2022. This is just days before it's speculated that China flooded the market with cobalt in order to drive the prices down, causing Jervis to be unoperational. Here is a document on Jervis's website stating that they will be fully operational, or they will resume testing and mining, just days before the order came down for our farmers to quit using their water because there was a water shortage. There is no water shortage. Mm-mm. There is a water reallocation.
Right.
They are taking...
The water levels there are actually at like record levels in Iowa and in... They're all topped off. So this is all a lie. This is all just a lie to annihilate the farmers. They can't plant their crops. If they try to, they're going to be fined beyond belief. They're not going to be able to make any profit. And it's about buying their... getting their land for pennies on the dollar when they all force them into bankruptcy, and then also supplying this cobalt mining all the water they need to do what they want to do.
The water from the farmers, and they are allowing Jervis to use it.
Yeah. As you can see, just things are getting more lawless by the minute in America. I mean, it's just absolute, total insanity. Every one of these reports. I wish it weren't so, and again, I fought it for, you know, 18 years, but the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we know that it's going to be, you know, as we build into the getting near the tribulation period, you know, things are going to get worse and worse. And even Jesus warned about these types of things. So bear that in mind. The Bible does predict this. But I'm putting this out from a watchman standpoint, and that, you know, so that you're prepared. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And that, so you can prepare, pray, however you're feeling led of God to do that.
Matthew Weaver, is in charge of the water for the entire state. They are telling our farmers that they cannot use water to farm, but they are allowing Jervis, a DOD-backed company that got an insertion of $15 million from our tax money and is set to get millions more, that they can use all the water they want to mine for cobalt. Here is the information for Jervis. This is their corporate information, and this is also the information for their public relations.
So she's posted it on the screen.
I suggest we blow up Brad Little's phone, we blow up Matthew Weaver's phone, and we invite Jervis to the party. If the people who run our government and our states want to invite cobalt mining, that's fine. But it will not be at the sacrifice of our farmers, our farmland, or our food sources. Either do it the right way or don't do it. Those are three really simple action items that you can do today to help your fellow Americans and to resist the tyranny that has become our government.
Amen. Amen. Love it. Okay, so next video, kind of like this one, but they're not going to get into the cobalt mining here. They're just getting more into the nuts and bolts of how they're trying to destroy the Idaho farmers. Idaho government destroys farming. Idaho water curtailment.
This is Dabu 7, and we are in the midst of a major water war that's going to feed into food and economic prices. It's going to affect everything. And as an update here, I want to share with you here some information coming from the farmers in Idaho that are facing getting their water shut off here, and let you hear from them exactly what's going on here, and then I'll give some thoughts afterwards.
Hey, Christopher, do you see this?
See what?
Well, we just got our curtailment letter from the Idaho Department of Water Resources, and they're telling us we have to shut our 8 wells off.
Shut our water off? What for?
Oh, just a bunch of ridiculous stuff. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
So this is a letter that we just got. We didn't think we were going to be affected by this curtailment because most of our farm ground, all these sprinklers going back over here, most of our farm ground is surface water through canals. We do have 8 wells, but 2 of them are emergency wells. And I think we've converted, I think, 2 or 3 more over to surface water. But we do use three wells. We use 3 wells to water our crops. So they want us to shut our water off. This is from the Idaho Department of Water Resources. And they want us to turn our wells off. And it's not just us. So the Idaho water curtailment is affecting about 500,000 acres of farmland here in Idaho. So the problem is, and why this curtailment is happening, is because down in Twin Falls, there's the Twin Falls Canal Company. And they were getting a little short of water. So in 2015, they came up with an agreement of how much water the well users, the groundwater users, could use. So they were short 74,000 acre feet of water, and they were short that in 2021. So from 2015 clear up to 2021, we were putting way more. It was more than double the amount of water we were using. We were putting back in the aquifer. Well, 2021 came along and there was a drought. And that drought caused us to use more than we used the same amount, but because there was less water that year, it was a hot, dry year, we weren't able to put as much back into the aquifer, and that's when they were short. So 74,000 acre feet is essentially 12 and a half days of water in their canal. So this canal that's down there, it waters 200,000-ish acres, and I think there's about 5,000 customers. Well, because they were short 12 and a half days of water, they want to shut off 500,000 acres of water and 6,400 customers' wells. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Some would say that is very crazy. others saying we are in a war, in a battle here. Amongst the people here in the United States, and this goes beyond the United States as well, in terms of this water war. You just heard from the farmers there how they're battling people within their own state in different treaties and compacts that were put into place in modern times. Well, when it comes to the United States, all the way around, this goes back a long time, all the way back to 1944, I believe, where the United States and Mexico had a treaty put into place about water. And this treaty was supposed to be upheld by both sides, around 80 years old, they say, this treaty. But with all of the droughts, similar to the situation they were just talking about there on the farms, whenever there is a drought, it plays big on the treaty. Because under the treaty, Mexico is required to send the United States 1.75 million acre feet of water every 5 years. Water that they get from the Rio Grande, which is renamed down there, I do believe, to the Rio Bravo. Now, in return, the United States is sending 1.5 million acre feet of water to Mexico from the Colorado River every year. So 1.5 million, 1.75 million is a pretty close numbers there, but Mexico's only sending that much every 5 years. We're sending it every single year. Now, with drought conditions, Mexico saying they can't give what they don't have. And this is straining.
And all this stuff is being caused by design on purpose. I've said over and over, they can make it rain, they can create drought, they can create hurricanes, this is all technology they've had since probably the 40s that they've admitted to in government doc. I had a whole section on it in my avian flu presentation back in 2006 where they've admitted all of this. So it's all garbage and lies.
Missions all over the place, all along the border within Mexico, in areas like Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, the Four Corners region out there. And this is affecting, as we just saw, all the way up into areas like Idaho now, as they extend this. They are saying that if this continues, the crops will be decimated. This will decimate the economy, all the jobs, and everything in between. And it seems this is what somebody wants in this battle, and we cannot let it happen. But this is being fought on multiple fronts, coming from different avenues. And I think it's time people pay attention to this and you start to do something to mitigate the damage. You maybe want to think about water catchment and things of that nature. And if you're even in a state that allows it, as crazy as that sounds, if you're in a state that allows you to survive. Yeah. Well, this is where we're at. Join me for the live stream.
Okay, so moving along, Wall Street to list America's protected public lands, including national parks and wildlife refuges, on the NYSE stock market starting November 17th. Unless it's stopped, and let's face it, what are the odds of that happening? The United States government is planning to pass a rule on November 17th, 2024, to allow Wall Street to assume total control over America's public lands, waters, and other natural resources. I mean, just insanity everywhere you turn. Before the end of the year, the plan is to list all of America's protected lands, including parks, wildlife refuges, and the New York Stock Exchange, NYSE, under a new classification called Natural Asset Companies, or NACs. As with everything else in Wall Street, NACs will be owned, managed, traded, and ultimately controlled by money changer entities like BlackRock and Vanguard and even Communist China. Wall Street is already trying to control the air through the so-called carbon credits and other associated financial instruments with little success. There was an entire carbon exchange that was created in the early 2000s that ultimately failed in 2005. There is still an ETF called the Climate Exchange Traded Fund, but that too faces delisting. Then came the ESG and the attempted further monetization of the environment, a scam that is also failing as it faces a perfect storm of negative sentiment. Investments in ESG fell by $163 billion just in the first quarter of 2023. Net zero is also in the mix and also threatens to blow up the carbon scam. With all these green scams falling apart, the next Wall Street scheme involves monetizing publicly owned natural resources, allowing corrupt entities like Bill Gates to hold ecosystem rights to the land, air, water, and even the natural processes. Each NAC will hold a management authority over the land. When we're issued carbon allowances, owners of said lands will be able to then claim tax deductions and will be able to sell carbon allowances to businesses, families, and townships. In the simplest of terms, that's where the money will be made. We peons will be renting air from the richest people on earth. Soon there won't be anything left for the public to enjoy. If the money masters get their way, the following will soon be owned and controlled by the globalists. National parks, wildlife refuges, wilderness areas, areas of critical environmental concern, conservation areas of private and federal lands, endangered species, critical habitats, conservation reserve programs. Even the Nature Conservancy, the largest conservation organization in the United States, is up for grabs as this 501c3 holds $6 billion worth of land on its books. Land that was taken by using your money, taxpayer money, and is now transferred to the TNC to do as it wishes. If this rule passes, America's conserved lands and parks will move onto the balance sheets of the richest people in the world. Management of those lands will be decided by them, and their operations, to say the least, will be opaque. I mean, it's going to be really sketchy. So there was a period where you could comment. Evidently, that period's passed. So, you know, I guess all you can really do is pray about these things. And I want you to be aware of it, because it's all about painting everybody into a corner, really, is what this is all about. Okay, so now we're going to switch gears here. Let me just look. I'm going to go ahead and just end part one here. I would rather have this, because we're going to talk about more the health side now, the bird flu thing and COVID and a lot of different things I've been meaning to cover for a while. So I'd rather just kind of have these. I don't know if I can get this into the next part, but maybe at worst case scenario, this will go to three parts today. So God bless you. And we will see you in part two.